1 Kings chapter 19, I ask you to stand to your feet if you would, across the house. We'll reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Let me say that it is a joy to be here this evening. Good to be saved, ain't it, church? Amen. Good to be saved going to heaven. Thank God for that tonight. I appreciate the Lord. All right, 1 Kings chapter 19. Look in verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. You can be seated this evening. Heavenly Father, we come to you again tonight. We thank you for just a wonderful day that you've given us. Lord, it is a joy to be here tonight, but we pray that you would touch us and help us with the preaching. It's come the preaching hour now. And Lord, I don't want to say no more than what I need to, but I want to say no less than what's needed tonight. And I just want to get out of the way for this time and let you have your perfect work in folks' lives. And Lord, just let me say what's need to be said. I pray for the one, if there's one here that's lost, that you'd save them. Strengthen the one that needs strength. Encourage the one that just needs some help tonight. Lord, I ask now that you touch and anoint us afresh from heaven. Touch us in body. And Lord, we'll thank you for it all tonight. Thank you for Jesus who died for us so that we might be saved. Would you help now for all this in Jesus' name? Amen and amen. Very familiar scripture tonight out of the book of 1 Kings chapter 19 as we're still talking about Elijah. But here you find Elijah is on the run from Jezebel. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of James chapter 5 that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed and earnestly that it might not rain, the Bible said. But the very first thing it said is Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, Elijah is just like us. We're just like him. A lot of times when I read about the Old Testament saints and the Old Testament patriarchs and those things, we look at them as supermen. But to be honest with you, they were in the flesh of trying to serve God. And tonight, I want to look at this thought on this when our faith gets weak. Now, I want you to understand what took place up until this time. We know Israel, we've seen it this morning. Israel was under the judgment of God and hadn't rained for 3.5 years because Elijah prayed. God took care of him down by the brook Cherith and fed him by the ravens. God let the brook dry up, and then he sent him up to Zarephath and fed him by a widow woman that didn't have really enough to feed him with, but she had just a little meal and a little oil in her house. And he said, "Make my cake first and trust God." That's basically what he said. If you go back and you look in chapter 18 or chapter 17, I believe it is, and he made this statement, see if I can find it here. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy sons. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of the meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." He said, you'll just make my cake first, then you all can eat. He said, God's going to take care of that meal and that oil. And God did, by the way. Thank God. What a miracle that the meal barrel never run dry. Neither did the cruse of oil. But then Elijah, the widow woman's son, dies and he raises him from the dead. We get over into chapter 18, as we've seen this morning, part of it. And they have a showdown, an ant between the God of heaven and the God called Baal. And God answered by fire. I mean, Elijah went out there and prayed, I believe, 63 words. Fire came down from heaven. After that, he kills all the prophets of Baal, all the prophets of the grove. And then he goes up just a little further on Mount Carmel. And he begins to pray that it might rain. And the Bible said that it rained. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And so listen, all this stuff that's took place in the past 3.5 years in Elijah's life. I mean, he has seen God work. He has seen God move. He has seen God do things that is beyond our imagination. I'd have just liked to have seen them ravens bring meat and bread of the morning and of the evening. Amen. I mean, you don't about not having to go to the grocery store. I mean, that'd be all right. I'd like to see that. I'd like to have seen the meal barrel when they raked it out and there wasn't nothing left in it. And they go back the next day and they rake it out. There ain't nothing left in it, but they're raking it out. I don't know if that's how that happened or not, but I got it in my mind. I don't know if the meal barrel overflowed. I don't know what happened, but I do know this. They never run out. They never run out. Now listen, when God's doing something, we don't ever run out. Amen. And I thank God for that. I don't know any of us that could. We can pray for rain, but you know what he said over there at one point. He said it's not going to rain. Let me see if I can find it. He says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now that's pretty tough when the prophet said, it ain't going to rain till I say it's going to rain. Think about that for a minute. But here you have a man that in the past 3.5 years has seen God move in miraculous ways. He's seen God move in ways that me and you couldn't even imagine. But now when we get to chapter 19, things have changed. He has had great victories. He has seen God do great things and no doubt had great faith to trust God. That would have took some faith to went down by the brook Cherith and just hide out there until God said go somewhere. But something happens to get Elijah on the run. And so I want to look at when our faith gets weak. I want to show you what God does for us sometimes. Number one, I want you to look at the thread that came by Jezebel. If you look in verse 2, after he had killed the prophets of Baal and of the grove, it said, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. He said, tomorrow, I'm going to kill you. I mean, that's what she said. I come tomorrow, I'm just going to treat you like you treated one of my prophets, and I'm going to see you dead. Now listen, this is the same Elijah that has seen God make it rain, the same Elijah that seen God send fire down from heaven because he prayed. This is the same Elijah that raised that boy from the dead and saw the barrel of meal never waste and oil cruse never run dry. The same Elijah that seen God feeding by the ravens. It seems to me that he would have had great faith. Seems to me that getting a little letter from a woman over here, I would have not made that big of a deal in his life. But you all know the story, don't you? What's the next verse say? It says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Because of the threat of the enemy, because of the threat of the foe, he is now on the run. And let me say this tonight, she wasn't bluffing. Amen. She would have killed him had she had the opportunity. And I think we need to understand something tonight. We do have a foe and an enemy that we fight. And sometimes he makes us afraid, and sometimes he tries to make us afraid. But I'm going to tell you tonight, we don't have to be afraid. Amen. I'll deal with that here in a minute. But notice, it says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He didn't ask God about it. Now, are you picking on Elijah? Probably just a little bit. Maybe just a little bit. But when we get down here, you'll understand. But he didn't ask God about this. Now, where do we find that? Now, where do we find that God spoke to him from heaven and said, Elijah, you can go on out into the wilderness? He didn't say nothing like that. It just says that he went for his life and came unto Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. So you see the threat that came from Jezebel, but now you see the position of Elijah. Notice what happens. He's on the run, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. Now I want you to get in your mind for just a second, if you could. If you don't get anything else, you catch this tonight where Elijah's at. Is he's really in a place where God can't use him. Not right here. And when our faith gets weak and we get on the run from the enemy and we get on the run from the foe, we get in a place where God really can't use us. All he can see is what Jezebel told him. All he knows is what the enemy has threatened him with. His foe has said, I'm going to get you. And you need to understand something tonight. If the devil could get you, he'd do it. He'd try to kill you if he could. He'd try to get you if he could. But thanks be unto God, God's taking care of us tonight. Amen. Listen, it is the hedges that is talked about in the book of Job. It is Him protecting us. It is Him putting His hand upon us and taking care of us and holding the devil at bay. And do you not think God could hold Jezebel at bay? Amen. Did Elijah think God could hold Jezebel at bay? I don't know. Because Elijah's on the run. I'm talking about a man who had seen God work, but now he's on the run. And I want you to understand, is he not only on the run, but he's on the run because he's afraid. I'm going to tell you tonight, fear is a motivator, but it is also a debilitator tonight. Have you ever been so scared that you couldn't move? I mean, so afraid that you couldn't make yourself go. Most of the time when folk get fearful, they end up running. But sometimes they come to the place where they can't do anything. And he is afraid of the enemy. And so he's on the run. And I'm talking about when your faith gets weak. Notice that he went for his life. He's on the run. Left his servant in verse 3, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He's not only on the run, but now he's by himself. That's a bad place to be. You know, that's what church is for. One of the reasons what church is for is so you can get around like-minded people that they might help you. What is it the book of Galatians talks about? Oh, there bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hey, listen tonight, I'm telling you, we can be a help to each other. He said, well, reckon what's wrong with them. Don't worry about what's wrong with them. Help them. Amen. We worry about what's wrong with it. I can imagine had Elijah been an independent Baptist, we'd all kicked him out of the church by now. Wouldn't have wanted to help. You should have known better than to run. God could have took care of you if you'd have just stayed there. And that's probably true. But I want you to look. He's by himself. He's left his servant. And he's went out into the wilderness. The wilderness is a place where there's nothing. It's deserted. He's not only got by itself, but he's got out there in a place where there's nothing. I mean, all there is a juniper tree out there, and he's sat down, and he's sat down under that juniper tree, and here's what he said. And this is amazing for a man that has seen victory after victory. It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my father. Now I'm going to tell you something about the ministry, and let me park right here for a minute, okay? That you all don't understand. Most of y'all don't understand the ministry. It weighs hard on your body. It weighs hard on your mind. And it weighs hard on your emotions. I mean, it really does. The ministry will work on you. And I mean, after he's seen all this stuff take place, and it's real easy to get discouraged in the ministry. It's real easy to get, it's real easy to do that in life, ain't it? Just let alone the ministry. I wish somebody would have warned me about the ministry. About everything that comes with it. We all know the good stuff. I just wish somebody had told me about the bad stuff. Say, well, preacher, you might not have took it. I might not have, but I might. Who knows? I'm going to be honest with you. When a young man comes to me and begins to talk about wanting to preach and going to pastor, I just take him, sit him down and talk to him for a while. And I don't tell him the good stuff. I tell him the bad stuff. I don't have to tell him the good stuff. He knows about that. I don't have to tell you about God coming by and all the exciting times of what God can do, but all the times that when it seems like nothing's going on or the enemy, it just seems to be running rampant and hey, he jumps up on your shoulder and he lies to you. The enemy will lie to you. During the wartime, especially during World War II, they put out propaganda. Put out propaganda in every war. And it was all lies. So he's sitting in the wilderness. Now I'm talking about a man who has seen in the past 3.5 years, has seen God move miraculously, and now, he is in such a place of discouragement, depression, and despondency that he is laid down under a juniper tree and wants to die. Something's happened. Something's clicked. Why is this not the same Elijah that seen God answer by fire? Why is this not the same Elijah that God fed by the ravens and gave him drink by the brook Cherith till it dried up? It is the same Elijah. He's just having a hard go with it. There are sometimes we just have a hard go with it. For whatever reason, we just have a hard go. I know Jesus is not going to desert me. I know that. I know I'm His. I know that I'm kept for all eternity. He's never going to let me go. He's always and ever present. I understand that. I get that. But why is it our mind can't understand that? Why is it our heart cannot get a hold of that sometimes? But here he sits under the juniper tree and he is discouraged. And he is hard on himself because he said, I'm not any better than my father's. Oh, he was far better than his father's. I mean, he was. I mean, think about this. This is a man that's followed God up until now. This is a man that has obeyed God, that has done what God wanted him to do. I mean, imagine how hard it had to have been to went down by the brook Cherith and just sit there and just hit out and him knowing this thing's going to dry up. I mean, think about that for a minute. I mean, it's like that preacher I know that said this. He was pastoring in West Virginia and said that, you know, he's got about 15 people and there's nobody else moving into the community. And we're talking about mountain folk. And he's just pastoring a church that is literally dying away. And he said, these people need a pastor. And he said, I'm going to be here till they all die and then I'm going to shut it down. I mean, how do you face tomorrow in a situation like that? I mean, think about, he is resigned to the fact, yeah, they need a pastor, but he also knows there's coming a day that they're probably going to close them doors. I mean, nobody else is coming in. Folks are getting older. That's happening all over the place today. It really is. All the things that God done for Elijah, and now Elijah sits in the wilderness under a juniper tree, the juniper tree of doubt, the juniper tree of discouragement and depression and despondency. And so he lay down and he went to sleep. You know, people that are depressed, they like to sleep a lot, don't they? It's just the nature. It's the nature of that situation. He's tired. He's been on the run. I don't even know how much he's had to eat right here. But here he is. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." Number three, I want you to look at God's response to Elijah's position. He sends him an angel. Now, ain't that good? Not only does he send him an angel, but if you look, he said, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink. God did not rebuke him. God did not chasten him. God understood the position that he was in. Even though on Mark, I'm telling you, I've been in sorrowful places when times I shouldn't have been there. I've been in discouraged places in times when I shouldn't have been there. I mean, this is just another battle to fight. This is just something else for Elijah to face. And now he's on the run, but God didn't beat up on him. That's why I said we shouldn't beat up on people. We need to be very careful how we treat people that is going through a bad time in their life, even when we think we would have faced it different. Even when we think, well, they should have done this or they should have done that, or boy, I'd have been on the altar every Sunday till I got an answer. I don't believe I would have run. You don't know what you'd have done. And neither do I. I don't want to beat up on Elijah tonight. You know, if you go back and you look in the New Testament, you'll find that John the Baptist come into power of Elijah. And Jesus told him over there, he said, if they'd have just paid attention, said they'd have realized that Elijah's already been with them. And he was talking about John the Baptist. Who was it that met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration over there? Well, it was Moses and Elijah, wasn't it? I'm just saying. I don't want to beat up on Elijah way too much, because over there on the Mount of Transfiguration, there he stood with Jesus. I don't think the Lord beat up on him. I think he understood some things that was going on. No, I don't believe that he asked God about it. And yes, I do believe he got on the run. But I want you to look at God's response. He sent him an angel and that to help him, but he gave him something to eat. He just fed him. Boy, ain't you glad when we get in a tough place, a discouraged place, a depressed place, a doubting place, that God will just feed us. He'll just feed us. He just tries to help us. He tries to get us out of that position and telling us that you shouldn't be there, and telling us, well, it's your fault that you're here. And there are times that God tells you, "I told you so, you shouldn't be here." I understand that. But he's this is out of character for Elijah. I mean, think about it. I mean, he stood and faced Ahab. He stood and faced 400 prophets and 450 prophets of the grove and of Baal. And they could have killed him right there. No problem. And nobody would have thought nothing of it. But he stood out there in the power of God. When we need strength, God will give it to us. He didn't even know what he really needed because the angel came to him and woke him up and told him, you need to eat and drink this. So he did. He laid down again to rest. And the Bible said right here, they came again the second time and touched and said, arise and eat because the journey is too great. For they see, the Lord already knew what was sitting in front of him, even though Elijah didn't know. And so God was preparing him and getting him ready to go. Now if you go and you look at this in verse 8, it says, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights at the Horeb, the Mount of God. By the time you leave Mount Carmel and get to Mount Horeb, which is Mount Sinai, the Mount of God, where Moses received the law of God, you'll find out that that's about 150 miles. He went 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb in a cake and a cruise of water. That must have been some more cake. No wonder I like cake, honey. I tell her all the time after supper, we always had a piece of cake. Sometimes we got a piece of cake, sometimes we don't. You got to settle for a cookie. But it goes 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of that. But God knew where he was going. And you know what, you can go on and you can read this and you'll find out that Elijah ended up in a cave down there on Mount Horeb, and God comes by and talks to him and deals with him down there in that cave again. He's by himself again. He's hid out. Again, he's in a place that's dark. But God comes by and talks to him. And you know what God does? He sends him all the way back up to the northern part of Israel again. So he traveled 150 miles south. And then he traveled 150 miles north. I mean, go look it up. I mean, he gives you what exactly he tells him to do. Tells him to go back up to Damascus. He said, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, to anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mola, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And he says, when you're headed back to Damascus, he said, you just anoint them all and get them ready to go. God wasn't done with him. God wasn't done with Elijah. And I mean, you can go on and you can read. He still has work for Elijah to do and things to happen in his life until he gets ready to take him. And you know what Elijah does? He goes and does exactly what God told him to do. Do I think he had to travel some roads that he didn't have to, probably? Yeah. I do. When we get in a place where we get discouraged and depressed and all that, I think sometimes we cause ourselves more trouble than we need to. It's like the old life sometimes, or sometimes when we went right with God and we messed things up. We just got to carry some baggage and some scars of the rest of our life. And we just hope God will help us carry that baggage and heal them scars. So you know what Elijah done? He trusted God. He went and done what God told him to do. You know what me and you need to do? We just need to trust the Lord. Now, that's easy for the preacher to say, ain't it? Man, it's so easy for me to stand up here and tell you just trust God. And you know what though, as being a Christian and knowing what God's capable of and able of and what we've seen Him do, I don't know what all you've seen Him do, but I've seen Him do plenty for me. And to struggle. You know, we ought to be the happiest people and the least struggling people. When it comes to our faith, we should. But we do struggle sometimes. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. It'll make our lives so much happier and so much better to trust Him. But let me say this. When our faith gets weak, keep looking up to the Lord. Keep looking to Him. Keep saying, Lord, I'm just going to need some help right here. I need some strength to get through this situation right here. I need You to undergird me right here. I don't want to get on the run. I don't want to be in the wilderness. I don't want to be by myself. We may get down, but God will send us a little help. When we get down, the Lord's going to help us to get back up if we'll let Him. And that's what He done for Elijah right here. If you go on and you read that story, He got him out of the cave and He put him back to work. He can do the same for you. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I know He can help you. Let's bow our heads tonight. If we would, men, if we'd come to the piano and give us a verse of invitation tonight. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're needing. But I know God can help you tonight. If you'd come and trust Him. And we all have a tendency to put a smile on our face sometimes when we come to church and don't want nobody to know what's bothering us, what's hurting us. Don't know what's going on in our family life. Don't know what's going on at work. And don't know what's going on in our marriage. I'm telling you, God can help you tonight. If you're discouraged, God can help. If depressed, God can help. He can strengthen you tonight if you'll come to Him.